Again, it was interesting to have with regional leadership. They had discussions in 7 provinces, the North, West, and Central will take place in the next quarter. And also in terms of joint programs with LGBTI communities and chaperone institutions, all provinces except the Northwest, which will also feature in the third quarter. Strategic objective 3 is the one I think where they've not managed to achieve most of their targets. In terms of the reports for CEDAW, Beijing, and the MDGs, they indicate that they're busy with the printing of the Beijing report. Secondly, drafting a shadow report. They were going to do presentation of CGE CEDAW report to target stakeholders. That hasn't happened. They'll roll it over to the next quarter. Then, in terms of material development on CEDAW and other instruments, they were going to have a CEDAW training manual for the second quarter. They indicate that they've only developed the first draft of that. Also developed simplified booklets on Beijing and Beijing Declaration and the MDGs. They haven't done that yet, only on the booklet for CEDAW. And then secondly, or lastly, in terms of presentation of reports on international regional events with selected stakeholders, also not achieved, they'll be doing that also in the next quarter. The last one, which is around the organization itself, strategic objective 4, the key challenge there in terms of things that they haven't met relates to the ICT infrastructure upgrade. They haven't managed to achieve most of the things related to ICT. Everything is expected to be achieved in the next, or approval for them expected to be achieved in the next quarter. And they indicate that all of those things in relation to reduction of telephone costs, Microsoft software upgrade and licensing, and full phase of infrastructure updates are all dependent on the ICT infrastructure upgrade, and the project hasn't commenced yet. And again, this is something that they've also indicated as a risk factor. So it's also a bit alarming that they haven't managed to meet that yet and it's been rolled over to the next quarter. But in terms of targets that have been achieved, there are quite a number under that strategic objective. Enhancing their website, drafting delegation of authority, having a proper accounting system, they now have filling of vacant posts. They also have an electronic leave system, all those things that we set up in the second quarter. So overall, I think they've managed to do most of what they set out to do. The only question is, those things that they've rolled over to the third quarter, do they have adequate financial and human resources to be able to achieve them in the next quarter? If they're really saying that they've slightly overspent on their budget for half of the financial year, will they have enough financial resources to be able to achieve all of that? And also, then, is there designated funding for those things? If you're saying, I'm going to do it next in the next term, have you put the money aside for that? Because the next term has its own targets that need to be met. So it's just around those things and whether they're able to achieve the row of targets that they put there.
Sure.
Yeah,
then I will come the man goes to the facility, I answer the facility in a minute. Bomba is a witch was a certain one who loans on the end of the accident. So I'm asking how many of them are. Fed of the task, and this is the good, the non-emissive, it would be too much. And I'm in language, I'm going to enjoy you. And so then that I'm going to have a thing and the moon to me, I'm all I've got to say. Otherwise, if you can bring up the medical, okay, I can leave the machine. I'm leaving the hospital, I'm leaving the actually honorable member, are you complaining that it's the translation is there? Thank you, Chair. As I was listening, they were talking, and then I couldn't hear peers. That is the problem, because they're very close to me, and then they're talking now. I can hardly hear what is being deliberated. Then I requested that, how about if they sit in the corner so that they can be able to talk, because I can't hear.
Which corner?
Where they can be maybe comforted with Chair, because as she is talking and she is talking there now, I could hardly hear what is being said because they are chatting.
I'm not taking sides here, but can we actually be very considerate? We are all members of this portfolio, and if there's any problem, then you could have actually asked through me. That's the procedure.
Sorry, Chair.
Okay. Uthini manje Xhosa? Ngabona usungikhomba nje usushonale. I'm trying to resolve the thing. Please. Is it possible that honorable member, you move from this? You move and come this side. And then these two will move there.
She needs a mic to record. Maybe they can help her.
No, we're saying it.
Chair, can I suggest?
We're saying it.
Can I suggest that whenever we have a meeting, we should not exclude the people. We also look outside of our community. And from the outside, we so next time when you are having a meeting, we will try to do everything that we have done.
hopefully get another thing. I think actually we have to do that as well when it's done. Because as it is, even in the train by itself, there are so many interpreters different amongst the other people. In cases where we can't find a bigger venue, tolerance is the language of the day.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. The next one is just a three-pager on the Properties Commission for Gender Equality, second quarter. What I've done is, Crystal is focused on the briefing in relation to the second quarter report. I've captured here what were the outstanding.
Honorable Trail, do you have anything else? Say it open.
No, I'm
waiting.
Thank you. So, just looking at the CGE, reflecting back on our first quarter BOR and annual report. Captured with what were some of the outstanding that we see that was intact on the second quarter. So overall, in terms of the CGE giving effect to its mandate, when we reflect back on the first quarter and the annual report, there were targets that were not met. And as Crystal indicated, with the second quarter, that's got to roll our targets to the third quarter. It's also to ascertain from the CGE, given that there were targets not met in the annual report from the previous year, 1340, as well as quarter one, plus now quarter two. How are they going to accommodate for all of those unmet targets in quarter three and quarter four? There was also requests in when we had our briefing on the annual report for there to be more detail around what commissioners are doing within provinces. So the detail has come in terms of geographical spread, the number of people they're reaching. But I think what would be important to ascertain is for all the commissioners which they've assigned to a particular province, what are those commissioners doing in relation to what they presented to us here today? Because based on what they've given us in the PowerPoint presentation, you can't really see which commissioner, for example, in the Western Cape has taken on what issues. And because our responsibility is in relation to the commissioners as well as CGE within the commission, it would be good to ascertain, besides them attending board meetings, what are the other activities that they engage in. In terms of the first block, I've looked at what were the outstanding matters that came out from the annual report as well as quarter one. So for the first strategic objective, there was reference made to improving equity hearings that was held with justice and engagement with facts in the previous financial year that related to the Victims Charter, Maintenance Court, and Equality Court. They indicated that they were going to develop a tool that the commissioners were going to use to monitor in terms of the recommendations from hearings, and that they were going to follow up with justice and facts. And given the 16 days of activism as we just hearing in November, what's been the progress in that regard? Not reflected in the presentation we received for quarter two. It's an outstanding letter from quarter one the previous financial year. In terms of the second objective, which is around awareness raising and education and complaint handling, as Crystal mentioned, there are pending files. Now, what the CGE was very good at is they provided members with a written response after we had our first meeting in quarter one. And the key reason they stated in that written response about why files are pending is because many of the issues actually are referred to the Equality Court. I think it would be important to hear, out of all these files pending, are all of them going to the Equality Court? What is the reason for them pending? Now, what are the percentage that is going to the Equality Court? What is it, what's the percentage that is going to other Chapter 9 institutions or departments? So that we can begin to discern what, where is the backlog, or what's the cause of the backlog. And it would be also an important initiative for the committee to think that maybe we need to engage with justice around the Equality Court and call the CGE back and say, let's look at what are the challenges in relation to why cases are still pending. In relation to strategic objective 3, around the CEDAW report, again, they finished the report. They said they haven't had an opportunity to engage with civil society. When is that going to happen? That will happen in the next quarter. We could find out when will that happen? Is it going to happen at national or provincial? How are they going to make sure that these findings are actually made available for many people across the country? In terms of strategic objective 4, Crystal highlighted all the issues around ICT. In terms of the turnaround strategy, that is one of the key issues that they need to resolve. So yes, they've got the plan. Yes, they need to update. But what's the challenge over here? Why is it taking so long to actually upgrade, implement, because they're spending money in relation to ICT, but we're still year on year having challenges around having this ICT system up and running, up and going. So in terms of the next quarter, what are the outstanding issues for ICT? All the policies are there. When will it be implemented? Around litigation, I put that specific. When we look at the second quarter report, they highlight several cases that they involve in. But in the majority of them, they're actually amicus curiae. In other words, they're friends of the court, which is a good thing because the CGE comes as an expert and will give expert evidence around the gender matter. But out of all those cases, it would appear that the majority of them, some of them appear to be in the Western Cape. So where are the other cases besides Mpumalanga? Where are the other cases that they're actually following through on? And then in terms of cost implications, for an amicus, it's about preparing papers, maybe one representation where a court calls you to give evidence. So what's the actual cost incurred around the issue of litigation? And again, it's beginning to ask, if we look at the cases that they've highlighted, and we know in terms of litigation, that has taken a long time. What's been the impact? How do they begin to decide this is the case that we should take that would make an impact at a national level? In terms of the BRR, they emailed a document again yesterday afternoon, and we've never been given a response in terms of BRR responses. Mm. But just to highlight what our recommendations were and the observations. So in terms of governance, the AGC deal with transgressions. And I think we can engage with the CGE today to find out how it actually dealt with all the transgressions based on the 13, 14, and 14. In terms of finance, if we turn over leaf on page 3, I think the key issue here is around cost of employment. At the moment, they're spending a large percentage of their budget on cost of employment, of salary, and that going into the new financial year, probably going to reach 80%. But if we look at the challenges that they're having, they're saying they're having lots of cases that they're dealing with at the provincial level, and the capacity is really staying there. But National Treasury is saying, trim down, look at your finances. How are they going to plan going forward if the cost of employment is really 80%? And they're still finding they overstretched. What's the plan to deal with that issue? I think lastly, in terms of the program, again here, members questioned, are we getting value for money? And we're beginning to see one in terms of geographic location, they're having an indication of where they're reaching. Two, they're giving us numbers, who are they reaching? But again, given the capacity constraints, how are they linking with and collaborating with key stakeholders like the Department of Women in the Presidency? And then also in terms of the research reports, we've received many of the research reports which we, in the next term, will look at engaging with them of how are they making those findings available to civil society at large. I think in summary, I would say the two key things maybe to explore a bit further is cost containing. If we're veering towards 80% in terms of salaries, how are they going to work differently? What's their plan? And then in terms of provincial commissioners and what they're doing at a national and provincial level, is maybe to begin to ask, based on what they've given us, which commissioner is being responsible for what, whether it's around the litigation, handling of cases, education and awareness, because that could give us a better sense of the workload of commissioners across the province. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to find just some more clarity on the ICT. It looks like there's a lot of money being spent. You know, the previous financial year they spent a lot of money, and now again on the website. And you have spoken about the implementation that you know you implement. What are you talking about? The rolling out of the ICT system, or what are you actually implying?
Specifically in terms of ICT, a HAV policy, and it's defined as HAV, because the HSA developed a policy. So the policy is there, but it's defined as had it been developed. In terms of the ICT infrastructure, there's a plan, and it's related to the turnaround strategy, but has that been implemented? In terms of software upgrade, it is there, but I think they're saying that will be done in the next quarter. So I think in terms of how they're spending their money, they're getting bidders, they're putting in the plans, they have the policies, but in terms of the actual role, like at the national and provincial level, it's to find out what's the challenge and practically where are they at. So I think they're beginning to put all the infrastructure and policy things into place. But in terms of real implementation, practically, I think that's three members could ascertain what will happen in the next quarter.
I just need to understand why, like, you know, what this ICT, what it is. Are they having a system that is going to be nationalized? What, because I don't understand. It's like, if you could just explain to me, then it can give me a clearer understanding of what the functions of an ICT.
I think some of the things that we just kind of took an oversized visit to them in last year. They hadn't had an electronic leave system, for example. They hadn't had the accounting systems went up to date. So it's all those actual physical things in terms of systems that they haven't updated, they haven't upgraded them in a long time. They were also saying, even in terms of the PCs that the staff were using, everything was outdated. So it's the actual physical infrastructure and the systems, because I mean, also in terms of provincial offices, they would need something that is not only the office, that also rolls out to provincial offices. So it's implementing those systems effectively and making sure it's rolled out and working properly between the office and the national and provincial offices.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my question was relating to what Honorable Nomisa was saying, and also saying that this upgrade, your ICT upgrade, it has started somewhere around 2018, and even as we're speaking, it's still not yet completed. So I think something is wrong. I think they have to explain what causes these delays. Yeah, because it was clear even in the annual report when they tabled it that yes, it has started in 2015 and it's still on as we're speaking.
Thank you, Chair. The clarity I need is in the key activities, the transformation hearing. They say here the consultation of nine consultations. In three provinces, which basically three provinces, they made this consultation. I only see only in Mpumalanga in my team, but I don't see the others.
Ngibonga sihlalo ngixolise futhi ukuthi ukudisturba ngani. Ngibonge i-presentation esiyithulelwayo la research. Ngoba ngempela kunamakhesi amaningi agcina uwabona ukuthi ayaye enkantolo. Bayefika enkantolo ukuthola ukuthi futhi aziphelela nje obala ungakwazi kanjani. Kuyimanje ngithola ukuthi kuney'ngane ezicindezelwa uyise bayabarepha hhayi ndaba ukuthi babadlungula. Umama ngokuthi uyathandaza usaba ihlazo gcine loo nto iphelele umala. Okunye-ke nkosi yami ngizocela nje uvumele sihlalo wami. Ilokhu kokuthi angazi-ke noma sazohamba bawenzele i-research babuyesebeziphathele yona. Ngoba lukhulu udlame olubhekene nabantu besifazane kule South Africa. Like njengalo muntu osuke eshade nenkosi chief othola ukuthi ulotsholelwa i-chief asizwe ekugcineni uma inenkinga ngabe yocansi ngabe yani uthathe isinqumo i-chief ukuthi akahambe azahlukaniswe ney'ngane. Amakhesi lawo awabona ukuthi abuhlungu iy'ngane ey'ncane zisale y'hlupheka. Aphile labantu udaba laba kodwa baxoxi bobabili nenkantolo ayingeni kuba izinduna. Ukuthi ngempela labantu sizobakhipha kanjani sihlalo wami kulolu sizi ukuthi uma ngabe mhlawumbe kwakuwumthetho owawubeke kudala ukuthi wena uma ushade nenkosi udaba lakho ngabe lwasembhedeni alube ulwesizwe uhlambalazeke ibe sibheke ukuthi ngakushintsha kanjani. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for disturbing during the presentation, and thanks for the presentation from the researcher. My case is that there are cases that are still pending, and we know that children in the households are being raised by their fathers, and nobody takes care about that. And in the case of those women who are married to the chiefs or kings, they sometimes have some conflicts. And their dirty linen is being attended by indunas and all other people. But those cases are, how do we help them? How do we help to solve all those cases that has to do with the wives of the chiefs and the kings? I would like to have an answer to that. Budget.
totally against the CFMA. Totally. Now, how can they then give us such an in-depth report, knowing clearly that they don't have enough money? And maybe when our questions are posed to them, let's remember in the last presentation when they came in here, Honorable Trail even asked about them asking for money for buying new vehicles. These are all the concerning areas around the city. I don't know whether you got the message that the sister here is also admitted.
I didn't hear anything. How are they going to fix it? What's the problem? Why am I on? I'm
not
going to be here. Look at my screen. Why did it leak? Let's see if we're having a meeting and should be a meeting with the department. Let's see if we're having a meeting. Mm-hmm.
CGE members would ask the presenter to come this way. There's a chair here.
Can you occupy the chair there?
No.
The first presenter will remain there. The second presenter will have to be here and move to that chair when the time comes.
Temporary. I was talking to them that the seat is offered for temporary seats.
For temporary measures, so that it's nearer the mic.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. Thank you for coming here to present our second quarter report. I bring apologies from the Chairperson, Ms. Shonzi, who is in India on an international women's summit, and our CEO, Miss Miami, we have been booked off sick, so we had to make a different plan yesterday. The delegation today is advocating Gorka, who's based here in the Western Cape. He's our chair of the legal committee. We have Commissioner Bata, who is in the Eastern Cape, also assigned to culture and religious theme. We have Liz Jones, the clerk, who will present the report on behalf of the CEO. She is the HOD Education and Information. Ms. Timoshadi Putu, he is our CFO. He will present on our finances as well as our response to the committee's budget review. And we have our parliamentary officer, Advocate Kamraj Anirudra, and my name is Thoko Mpumlwana, the Deputy Chairperson. Our presentation is in three parts. We will first have the overview and highlights of our performance information in respect of the annual performance plan, and we'll also table our formal performance of the second quarter. And then we'll have our financial report, expenditure against budget, and we'll have a response to the budget review recommendation report of the Honourable Committee. And then we hope that we'll be able to achieve all that within the specified time. We thank the committee for the invitation to come and present on the CEDO report on the 18th of November. We look forward to that. We also look forward to the visit. We look forward very much to the visit from the 24th to the 28th. And in the interest of time, I'll now hand over to Mr. Clark to present the first part of the report. Thank you.
Hello, Chairperson. Good morning, that we can have the financial input first before the run.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members and colleagues in the House. We kickstart our presentation with an inspiring word from one of our greatest leaders, Kofi Annan. I quote, "There is no tool for development more effective than empowerment of women," unquote. As a way of introduction, this presentation effectively seeks to report to the committee, Honorable Committee on Financial Management Activities for the second quarter, but bringing as well the context from financial management activities for the financial year to the end of September 2014. There is a 6 month perspective in the presentation. The primary essence is basically to ensure that we regularly account to Parliament, because it's Parliament that appropriates resources to execute our service delivery obligations. So there will be information as well provided
additional information provided. Its relevance is that they would want to keep the quality abreast of any other development regarding financial management within the institution. The outline of the presentation would basically be around financial performance, income expenditure activities. We'd also want to bring to the attention of the committee our budget and funding situation in broad terms. There are also areas of TFMA, things around having sound financial management processes, including risk management, including sound supply chain management, and as well to have a summarized overview on what we are doing, our turnaround strategy. There are some specific projects that the Commission undertook, and then there will be, you know, some summarized reporting around that, and other small matters pertaining to PFMA and specific some of the big projects that we are undertaking. Coming to the financial performance, in summary, overview. For the quarter, being a quarter that began on the 1st of July 2014, ending 30th September 2014, 3 months, our operating activities resulted in a deficit of 74,000. That is, our expenses were more than the income that has been recorded, by around 75,000 for the quarter. The cumulative bottom line, it was a surplus of 763. That is for the 6 months period. And the biggest contributors to the surpluses that we are reporting was interest income. Because we are carrying enough or excess cash resources in the bank, we do earn some interest. So for the 6 months period, we had 412,000 rand interest income from the bank. And there is a book entry, an accounting entry that has been made in compliance with GRAP, generally recognized accounting practices, which is an accounting convention adopted by National Treasury and government. We had to make this particular entry. If members would recall, we previously reported that National Treasury gave us a grant or permitted us to use funds from previously accumulated surpluses, 8.5, to pursue investment projects for the acquisition of fleet and also the replacement of our IT infrastructure. So in this period, we have received cars, we have purchased cars in terms of that conditional grant, and the accounting convention requires that we need to recognize as one of the accounting entries, 2.3. So, I'm just highlighting that it has been recorded as a book entry, just an accounting entry. There was no income that has been physically received. So, and it has impacted on the cumulative surplus that we are talking about. So if we exclude this transaction and only focus on actual activities in the period,
may I request that we switch off our phones? This is a very small room, and we'll keep on being having this. continue.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The excluding the 2.3 million round that I'm referring to, and only focusing on activities that were undertaken in the 6 months period, the actual difficulty. The actual deficit coming from the activities undertaken is 1.5 million in actual fact. So we'll look into further details, analysis of what constitutes these activities. And as well, I think if one looks into the overall spending for the year, we'll see that maybe about 37 million has been spent for the 6 month period. And that was against a budget which has been accordingly approved by this committee, a budget of around 70 million. And effectively that translates to having spent 53% of what has been allocated or budgeted for in the period. Meaning that whatever remains October up to the end of the financial year will be 37% of the available resources. Income, high level, that we have received transfers from National Treasury to a total amount of 16.9 for the quarter, second quarter, and cumulatively we have received 33.6 million from National Treasury. That is what we have recorded. You will note as well in the following slide that part of the 33.6 million, one chunk of payment which was due from our conduit ministry, Department for Women, for this transfer has not been paid but was paid in the first week of October, not necessarily within the period in which it was earmarked for. And income from government, therefore, as we have recorded, it's 50% of what has been allocated. For the year, we have been allocated 67.2 million, and then we have recorded 33.6 million, of which around 6 million was not paid in cash as yet by the time of reporting. We have also indicated that for the year to date, meaning the year financial year up to the end of September, we had interest income of 412,000, of which 232,000 was for the second quarter, being July to September, the 3 months July to September. And also on a cumulative basis, we have donation income of 1.2. We have had a summit in April, gender summit in April, national gender summit, and then in that we have recorded contributions by partners in the summit of 1.3 million. The details will be provided later. And other income, we do have, we do receive income from fund resources. When we issue our tenders, we sell tender documents and then we receive sundry income. But the bulk of the fund income that we are receiving is from conditional grants from the services sector when we comply with the provisions of the skills development levies and acts. And therefore, for the period, adding everything, adding all these income elements together, the total income recorded is 37.6 million for 6 months period. As a general background to the expenditure situation, I need to bring to the committee's attention that by the time of reporting on the 30th of September, the commission has re-looked into its budget, conducted what's called environment, reprioritizing the budget to ensure that our service delivery objectives are met. So there's been engagement around how to reprioritize resources. Within the limits of the regulations and the law.
So we have done that. There will be a slide in which I'm going to indicate the violence that has been conducted. And effectively, the exercise was basically cross-compensating of over-spending accounts against under-spending accounts. And in our particular instance, there have not been the shifting of monies between economic classification elements, that is compensation of employees and goods and services, but it was within goods and services element. And as a result, the net result was that net deferral or reprojecting and reallocating resources left an unfavorable 700,000, but we do have a source of funding for this, and that source would be basically from the interest income. Because we have already received 400,000, we're anticipating that there will be further interest income, and then that will be utilized to ensure that we meet our service delivery objectives in full. This slide is basically the workings of the requirements. We have the annual budget in the first column as approved by the committee. We have a revised 6 months budget of 36.8 million. And because we have done requirements, because we have done the compensating exercise, the actual expenditure and the revised first semester budget are equal. The last but not least, the second last column effectively indicates the adjusted annual budget, having done this particular requirement. And the last column effectively indicates the effect, I mean, what the adjustments. So as you can see, the negative amounts would imply that we have taken money from those accounts, and then the positive amount balances in this column would imply that that is where we shifted money to. And like I said, the net result is that we have an additional 700,000 for which we need to finance our available resources to bring us to the 70.6 million. That is the requirement in summary in tabular form. There's also one element that we'd want to bring to the attention of the committee around our funding budget situation in broad terms. We are projecting, except for the 700,000, which we know that we've got funds to cater for that. We will be spending within budget for the financial year, and then we are not even we are also going to be spending to meet our ATT targets. The structure of the CG budget has always been reported to the committee to say that by and large, if one does comparison, you see that the compensation of employees, because of the nature of our business as well, our business model, it's human resource, it's based on the human capital work, but effectively our budget is constituted of 70% COE. Example is that for this particular financial year we have budgeted 48 million, or our establishment, the cost of our establishment is 48 million as against what has been allocated by National Treasury, 67.2 million. And effectively, we only have 20 million for goods and services, and that includes goods and services for purposes of service delivery, as well as part in administration, but by and large for service delivery objectives. And when we look, there are projections made, I will share a slide as well, around what are the prognosis. I think the prognosis is not necessarily that great for the CGE when one looks into the funding situation. And as a result, I think in response to this particular risk, during the planning session, because we are already engaged in the planning for the forthcoming financial year, strategic planning. There's definitely a need, and the Commission is undertaking a project to review the business model. Maybe there are structural things that need to be corrected so that we can get the Commission to operate as effective as possible given the available resources. The point of emphasis is that the risk is real. It needs to be attended to. And again, there are new developments as well. There's an announcement by the Minister of Finance. There was an announcement by the Minister of Finance during the medium-term budget policy statement that there should be budget reductions, and then we were not safe. There have been an announcement already given by Treasury to say that the CEC budget going forward, that is beginning from the beginning of the new financial year, will be cut by around 3.1 million. This summarizes the situation prognosis for two more financial years. For the current financial year, I think we will be able to deliver our plan funded, adequately funded. For the ensuing financial year 2015-2016, we've got a risk. The 2015 MTF allocation projected 70.8 million last year when we were doing the planning. However, following the announcement by the Minister of Finance, there will be budgetary reduction of 39.8, which is 3.1 million, and then we're anticipating that the allocation for the forthcoming financial year will be 67.7 million. And when one looks into our approved establishment, next year is estimated to cost us around 51.6 million. And that will be, and by the way, COE is fixed cost. There will always be employees unless there are other changes on the site. So, this is outside of the CGE control. The 51 is a given, and that leaves us, the organization, with 16 million to spend on administration and for rollout of service delivery plans. And learning from the past, I think our average spend for goods and services is estimated to come to 24.5 million. And that leaves us 8.3 million in the red, if you allow me to use that expression. And so it goes further into the forthcoming financial year. So the budget risk, the budget emphasis is to say that the risk is real. We just need to make some interventions. The CGE tries from its side to contain costs, to redefine the business model. Coming to the reporting of activities for this 3 months, July to end of September, our full spending for the 3 months period was 19.5 million. In the first quarter, we spent 17.3 million. We are seeing that the Commission for the 6 months period has spent about 53% of the available budget, leaving 47% for October to the end of the financial year. There are observable key drivers of this expenditure. One obvious one is on compensation of employees. For the period, the 6 months period, there's been an increase in leave provision. I think it's because our leave plan would be saturated in the latter part of the financial year, October, November, December. That is when employees will be taking much more leave. However, leave provision is made on leave balances at reporting time. So we have included in the expenditure an increase in this provision of 1.5, which is also listed as one of the extraordinary, you know, spending line items or expenditure line items for the sake of sharing information with the committee. And as well, the commission has been involved in revising its website because we have also taken a view that we need to use our IT, available IT services to inform the public. So website is also one of the communication tools. We have been revamping the website, and then as a result, computer services has been a comparatively a higher spending account compared to spending in the first quarter of the financial year. Travel and accommodation was also a key driver. I think we have also mentioned that because we've got presence in all the provincial offices, there's traveling involved, but as well because we also work with grassroots structures. We do travel to local communities across the country. So effectively, because we have had heightened activities on the APP in the second quarter, there have been a concomitant traveling expenditure incurred in the period. The first four accounts that I've made mention of reported increased spending. However, in comparison, there was an account that they indicated, comparing the two quarters, quarter one and quarter two, that they reported an underspending, and the one noticeable is under professional services, by and large contributed by the AG expenses, because audit is normally saturated in the first quarter, the activities are saturated in the first quarter, much more expenditure was carried in the first quarter than in the second quarter. This is a tabular representation of our expenditure by line items and group. We do have quite a number of an elaborate chart of accounts, but we have compressed it to this level. Those are the spending lines, and then the percentage comparison is basically comparing the cumulative spending for the 6 months against the budget. We have mentioned that cumulatively we have spent 53% of available resources. And those are the numbers I think I can skip. Get to this slide, effectively indicating the budget, the revised budget for the 6 months period to the end of September, actual spending being the third column, and those other comparative percentages. Effectively, you can see that the 13.8 million coming from compensation of employees indicated there, and then split by our programs. We've got sub-programs within the CGE spending, which is a program for commissioners, governance and support. We are saying governance and support, but as well we know that the commissioners are also doing the actual work on the ground. Corporate services is purely administrative for the support functions, finance, IT, human resources and the like, and service delivery main program. All came to 13.8, and then for the quarter, the next separately classified spending line is depreciation and amortization. It's basically depreciation that we write off against the wear and tear of our asset base, and goods and services also split by program. Effectively, comparing to the budget, we can see that we are spending on COE exactly like we have budgeted. We budgeted to spend 68% over the overall allocation on COE, and the actual is 68%. We also have budgeted to spend about 29% of the allocation on goods and services, and we spent 31% thereof. So effectively, there aren't material deviation when it comes to spending by economic classification. There have been highlights of a few exceptions, I mean those extraordinary transactions we mentioned, leave, and basically, I mean, although there are movements like a slack in spending comparing quarter two and quarter one on goods and services, but by and large, I think we are spending within the budgeted norms. Information is further provided on the table. The extraordinary transactions that we want to highlight to the committee, we mentioned the recognition of 2.3 million for as income, which is not associated with you know, cash injection, but it's just an accounting entry, 2.3, and we anticipate that for the full year, as we meet the conditions of conditional grant by National Treasury, this figure will come to 4.3 million as the vehicles have been delivered. And another one was the leave provision. It has increased. However, once our leave plan is being implemented, officials are going on leave, this will fall away. We are anticipating that it will fall away because there's a plan to ensure that we all go on leave to comply with the basic conditions of employment. Another, for the full 6 months period, basically, for the sake of completeness, we're reporting as an extraordinary transaction, 1.2 million being donations received in support of the Gender Summit. And also the issue around a new development around budget reduction. Coming to having dealt with financial performance activity, we just now look into the balance sheet, issues pertaining to the health of our financial position. Effectively, there is a balance sheet on screen. The next slide is a summarized narrative, summarized analysis. Effectively, we can see that because we have acquired six more vehicles, we have capitalized them, we have put them onto the balance sheet. So our non-current assets, our fixed assets, have increased from 1.5 million in September of last year to 3.6 million. And the biggest contributor was that the acquisition of vehicles. The cash as well, comparing between the two financial years, same period, end of September, we currently carry cash resources of 15.3 million, whilst last year, this time around, we carried 2.3 million. The biggest difference comes from the fact that we have not received payment from the department. The department basically is a conduit, is the middle department between National Treasury and us. So money gets to be transferred from National Treasury to the Department on Women, and the Department on Women transfers the money to CGE. So there's a pending 6 million, and that 6 million as well has been recorded as a receivable, as a debt in our balance sheet, is included in our non-current assets. So effectively, when we take our cash, non-current assets, and the receivables, as at the end of September, the balance was 25 million, and last year, same period, we had 23 million. We've got ordinary liabilities, I think, in the balance sheet, and the health of the balance sheet can be determined by the difference between the liabilities that we have and the assets that we have. So we do have a positive difference between assets and liabilities, so we are still solvent. The ratios here summarizes effectively the state of health. We don't have any rates to report. I think we are still healthy as an institution as far as financial position is concerned. Cash flow, effectively, last year, if you look into the net, somewhere in the middle, there's a row that says net cash flows from operating activities. Last year, between the inflows of cash being money that we receive from government in the main interest and the like, last year we have received an inflow of 31.9, if you look into 2013, 31.9, and then there were outflows of 28 million, leaving us with 3.8 million. However, comparatively speaking, in the current year, we have a negative, meaning a net cash outflow. It's because we didn't receive all the grant money, and then and there have also been an increased cash outflow in spending. Last year we spent 28 million. This year we spent 30 million for personnel and personnel and suppliers. So, and then in the current year we have also used up 3.1 million for the purchase of property, plant and equipment. The 2.3 million on cars is included in the 3.1 million. Last year we basically, at this point, as at the end of September, we had 567,000 being utilized to procure assets. The net result basically is that we are reporting cash resources of 15.3 million, whilst last year we had 21.3 million about. This is basically for the sake of completeness of what we report, the summary, final figures on the gender summit. We have reported in the first quarter about the activities around the gender summit. The figures are now final. What we can report is that the summit was well attended. It was a success. There are outcomes. There's agenda. There's a QA. There's a summit report. QA meaning plan of action for all stakeholders involved in the sector. And we're reporting that there have been contributions, positive contributions by partners. Partners are indicated as well in the first block, mentioning them, Department of Public Enterprise, Alexander Fox from the private sector, Oxfam, UNDP, the UN agency, the then Department of for Women, Children and People with Disabilities have made contributions. And then there have also been contributions in kind, GCIS, Government Communication and Information Systems Agency, were there present. They took pictures, they supported activities. SABC also assisted in the broadcasting and popularizing and ensuring that our messages are delivered. Those are the partners. So we, they have contributed immensely. We are appreciative as an institution. Also, we're reporting that you know, often donations comes with conditions, and then what we're reporting to the committee is that we, as the anchor partner, have met all the conditions that were entered into in the MOUs, and then therefore we are not exposed to partners clawing back. Supply chain as an activity required by TFNA, reporting to the committee that we intend, or there are already processes in place to do procurement, to get engaged in procurement activities on banking, comprehensive insurance, because we are now purchasing with the additional vehicles and then we'll be replacing our IT infrastructure. So we'll be engaging in those procurement transactions, cleaning services. We are reissuing as well as legal services. There are pending cases that requires the use of specialized legal services, and then even other, you know, ordinary day-to-day services we are doing those procurement. This report as well, I think some details are included here because this report coincides with the report that we put before plenary, which I mean our general oversight processes. So the report was compiled from that information. So therefore there will also be additional information that we are putting forward to the committee. There's been a re-look into our policies to ensure that our policies are compliant with the scripts. So the last plenary also reviewed the revised SCM policy. And as well, as you will note from the audit processes, there are challenges around compliance. There are areas that requires improvement under supply chain management. So we are developing that capacity within the institution to ensure that all participants comply and then add value to the procurement processes. Risk management is also a prerogative or rather a requirement by CFMA. We have a risk management embedded into our practices within the CGE. We hold in, there's also an oversight governance arrangement around risk management. We've got a risk committee chaired by an outside person to ensure integrity. And then we as part of our risk management activities have performed risk management maturity assessment. It's a standard tool that National Treasury makes available. And then we have reached, we have been measured to a status of 3, implying that we are reputable in terms of risk management as an institution. The best score, the ultimate score is 5, being a score of leadership, so that we are reputable. We have developed, I mean, this is proof to show that we are maturing. We have developed competencies around risk management as an institution. And we're doing basically every other thing that needs to be done. One of the activities was the risk assessment we have done. We've got a living risk register. The overall picture of our risk situation is acceptable according to our own ranking. Except for there are 2 areas that we have highlighted as very critical. It's within IT because we need to replace our old infrastructure, so we have kept it as a critical area to be looked at, and also around financial management, picking specifically or elevating SCM, supply chain management, as an area that requires a closer scrutiny and closer tracking. We have mentioned around the fact that they will be engaging in insurance, being part of transferring the risk of loss to third parties. Effectively, summary background, the Commission has had a turnaround strategy developed to deal with every other thing, including issues at macro level, but also issues around administration, issues that are normally highlighted by the Auditor General. And the slide basically summarizes the approach, the diagram summarizes the approach that we've got specific projects that are focusing on financial management. Underneath you see assets management, SCM compliance, and we only look into that in isolation. I think the issue of managing performance information, ensuring that there's integration between financial management and service delivery, is also appreciated to be a component in this process. where we desire to have clean administration, human resources, financial statements, because that is where financial statements is where the Auditor General expresses an opinion on the accuracy and fairness of presentation of financial information. And IT as well. I think we are not eyeing only to get a result from financial statements, we are eyeing to get a result of clean administration, ensuring that all these pieces work together, and then we get to the ideal, the central circle, the ideal being a clean administration where we are effective, where we know that governance, controls, risk management are what the PFMA, in particular Section 38, requires institutions to be managed. And this slide basically just summarizes our interventions. I think the AG has briefed the committee, that we have also spoken to the committee as CGE around our audit issues. Although in the previous financial year we have received the ultimate opinion on the AFS being an unqualified audit report, there were matters raised by the AG that needs to be resolved, supply chain. Interventions that we are taking is that we're building capacity, we're ensuring that we improve on systems, we improve on, we train people, there have been training already conducted, but as well consequence management. CFMA also got provisions to deal with consequence management. We are dealing through performance management processes and the like. There will be consequences for non-compliance. I think there's a management attitude, and then commissioners are also ensuring that we stick to the rules of the law. This is provided for in the PFMD. And there's also oversight. I think if you can look into the terms of reference of the oversight committees by commissioners, the issue of following up on this pertinent audit issues is part of the mandate for each committee, and that each committee asks management to account, but as well when the committee reports to the chair, office of the chair, and reports to the body plenary, these matters are vigorously followed through. We made mention about information technology. We've got a project underway to resolve the issues. The issues were structural, so we've got a specific project underway, and the project includes reorganizing the governance framework, documentation regarding governance on ICT have been dealt with, have been properly approved by plenary. We've got new policies that have been developed which are consistent with the governance framework. So we have resolved the issues around governance. We've got structures, we've got everything. The second element was around the information security. Information security deals with the integrity of our hardware and software infrastructure and processes. The project that I'm referring to is a project that seeks to do a replacement. We are basically at the stage of procuring. The decision was taken, the final decision was taken last week. I think, if you allow me, as a way of correction, I'm adding that there will be procurement activities, or at least that procurement activities pending for the financial aid. That includes procuring for the replacement of ICT equipment and related services. Some of the projects that have been undertaken in the 6 months period, the AG, the audit happened, and even reporting to the portfolio committee happened. We are also in parallel as an institution busy upgrading our accounting systems. We are using Pastel. We have migrated from the old version of Pastel to Pastel Evolution, which is a system that will enable us to do the things that we desire to do, like decentralization, by even including improving on reporting, because this is a modern system is designed in such a way that there are many possibilities of interrogating and generating management information. Asset management is also a concern, or an ordinary general concern around the audit. So we have also migrated our asset management from a manual Excel-based system to the one which is within the accounting system, which has got much more integrity in terms of safeguarding the data and even computation. We have also moved from a manual leave administration system to an automated one. This is a plus. I think the system is working well. The staff management and commissioners have been orientated, so we are using the system. So it's a better control. And as well, I think regularly we engage with the AG. There's what's called the dashboard, the key controls. We are working on that. There are commitments already being made and being implemented, subject to review by the AG. And then the AG regularly also meets with the office of the CEO, meets with the office of the chairperson, the executive authority to update on this. Other matters, I think they've been reported before. We have two pending litigation cases. There's one instituted by the CG against the former chairperson, and there's another instituted by the erstwhile service provider, Absolute. The cases are still under litigation. I think as part of the responsibilities of management and the oversight structures, there's a relook into whether it's worth a while to be engaged with litigation, protracted litigation. So those discussions are still undergoing within the institution, especially more specifically relating to the matter that has been instituted by the CGE, being CGE versus CASA. So that's an assessment within CGE oversight committees as to what are the prospects, what would be the best interest for the CGE, given that those matters are protracted. Also, we do have a fraud line as an institution. We have a whistleblowing policy for staff to raise or record or register any suspected fraud or any wrongdoing by anyone. We do receive reports from Deloitte, who are our fraud line hosts, and by the end of September, updated, including by the end of yesterday, there was no fraud whatsoever reported to the institution, either from internal or outside of the CGE. There's one incident that occurred at our Northwest offices. There was a break in, I think, and losses that have been suffered are indicated there. It's an LCD monitor that was stolen, a laptop, and a radio belonging to, it's a private radio belonging to an employee. And a second incident happened in Pretoria, smash and grab. Ironically, this happened near or at a human building. A laptop was stolen from a car. There's an incident, or there's an account received from SARS, but we're engaging with SARS. We are querying what that means. We have received during the second quarter an account from SARS. Them having done their work and the like, they gave us an account and then claiming that there's a balance of 2.9 due by the CGE. but we engaged basically, and then we queried down the problems, and then we are still, the process is still underway. We are engaging SARS, exchanging information, giving them documentary proof. This claimed outstanding issues, according to SARS, comes back from the 2000 or so, from the year 2000 or so. So we are digging from our archives. So, but we are not, we are narrowing the problem. So I think our estimation at this point in time is that the worst case scenario would be the CG being exposed to 500,000 being in our penalties and interest. This is not yet a fact. We are just projecting. Finishing my presentation again with a citation from Dr. Babatunde, the Executive Director for UNFPA. I quote, when a woman and adolescent girls have equal rights and opportunities, their families, communities, and nations prosper. Unquote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. May I say to the honorable members the tea outside? Rather have that to refresh your mind because you're still going to be working very hard. So you are excused to go and have your tea.
Are you having
any problems?
Don't
worry, fine. We'll get you. And she'll come back with questions.